Don't panic. For the next hour, let Steve and Paul talk you down from that ledge, right here on RFI. They're the host who won't cop out when there's panic all about.
You going to do, you be there. If I die for you, if I go for you, I'm going to be there. Open the doors. Come on in, motherfucker.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. My name is Steve Vinson. Sitting right over there is Paul Schultz.
Hey, how you doing?
Nothing you're about to hear is true. And this is episode 100.
the centennial. We made it.
We made it. All right. So, here's the deal. Trivia question.
For me or for the audience?
This is episode 100. This is episode season 2, episode 49. Which is our 100th named episode.
Right.
So here's the question. How many episodes have there been, including this one? For diehard fans, tweet us the answer. Don't tweet. We don't check that account.
Yeah.
Facebook us. Actually, while you're brushing your teeth at your sink, just turn to us and tell us. Because all of our listeners live with us.
Or they could, you know what? Since this is the 100th episode, and we're gonna be going into 101 and so on, I've said hey, how you doing? Hey, how's it going? I've said those 100 times now.
Yeah,
I think I need a new catchphrase. So,
well,
somebody give me a new catchphrase.
I need a new nickname at work.
Okay, El Guapo isn't working.
You bring up a good point, which is. I said episode 100, mm-hmm. and then I talked about season 2. So here's an announcement for our listeners who may not know this. We've decided to stop naming our episodes by season.
Right.
And
right.
So this episode will be season 2, episode 49, but the episode after this one will be episode 101. We're doing that because as we get older, when we first started this thing, we were much younger than we are now, like a couple of years younger,
more ambitious.
We started this almost exactly 2 years ago. Right. And at that time I had not yet started to lose my mental faculties.
It probably has nothing to do with the alcohol.
Nothing whatsoever. Well, I mean, I can't, like, we're going, like, how many episodes is it? When's our 100th episode?
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say is, well, let me go look. Because I know that it's season 2, episode 40, whatever, but how many, I think we did 51 episodes in the beginning, but then there was in season 1, but then there was the pilot. You know what I discovered?
What did you discover?
Do you ever watch Project Runway?
On occasion.
You probably... Or America's Next Top Model.
Yeah. I'm glued to that show.
Or Dancing with the Stars, whatever. Yeah. The other day, they go, oh, and, you know, we've been doing this for 20 seasons. I look at my wife and I ask her, have we been watching this show for 20 years? And she says, no, we haven't. I think they do multiple seasons every year, which told me seasons don't matter.
Right.
What matters... It's like how many episodes you do. So I was seeing other podcasts don't do the season thing.
That's right.
And I thought, we are leaders in some areas, but when it comes to naming which episode it is, we are followers.
And, you know, this is Indiana and seasons don't matter, so.
Mm. I know. Sometimes we have like 3 seasons in one day.
Right?
This is December, mm-hmm. and it's late December. Right?
Yeah.
A lot of people make resolutions toward the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
about what they're going to do next year. We've picked this arbitrary moment in the Earth's travel around the sun to make new commitments for how we're going to behave in the following year. two things. One, we're not going to talk about seasons anymore. we're just going to do episodes, right? Next commitment is I'll do my best to say like, write, so, and
and
less.
I will never again say, hey, how you doing?
Are you going to have a new, new
I'll
greeting?
I'll try to come up with a new snappy greeting.
Should we change other parts of it? Should we change the I'm Steve Vincent and sitting right over there is Paul Schultz part?
No, then people would be lost.
True. That has a certain snap.
That's right.
To it. That has a certain rhythm. I like the rhythm of, nah, 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 over there, Paul Schultz, yeah, yeah. Nothing you're about to hear is true.
Yeah, that...
That nothing you're about to hear is true, that's gold. That's podcast gold right there.
That whole intro took about 12 episodes for you to figure out. Just so you know, because I've been listening to the first episodes, and yeah, that didn't start for a while.
I'm sorry that you had to sit through those 12 episodes.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things. You go back and you do it, so you know. You know, if you don't think you're doing a good job, you know, go back and listen to look at your early work.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. I remember. I had just had surgery on my knee.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my foot propped up on one of the dining room tables.
Yep.
And we're trying to figure out what is this. And I had just read the book Good to Great, where some dude did a bunch of research about what makes companies go from above average to absolutely great.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he talked about is the catchphrase is first who, then what. And what his explanation was, all the companies that went from good to great found really good people, brought them on board, and then those really good people figured out what they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't lay out their strategy first and then say, all right, we got to get some people to implement the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
No, they got the people first.
Yeah.
And those people figured out the strategy.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, MP Peppermint Mocha had approached me about doing a podcast because he had heard that my buddy Dave and I had been sort of dabbling.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, would you like to do a show for the thing? A little thing I like to call Radio Free Indie. And I said, I guess, I don't know. I'll let you know, I guess. And then as I was thinking about it, I thought, first who, then what? Who is the number one person in the world that I would like to do a show with? It's Paul, but Paul doesn't live near me. Paul lives in LaPorte. And then I thought, there's this little thing called technology that we could probably figure out how to use to make this work. And so I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what we're going to talk about. But what I do know is if Paul and I get together to make a show, it's going to end up being dynamite. So I didn't go to MP Peppermint Mocha at first pitching a show. I called you up and said, let's do this.
That's right.
I don't know how it's going to work, but let's figure it out. And in fact, I think our first show was all about what is this?
Yes. Yes.
Like, well, I don't know. I thought you knew.
We talked for 45 minutes about what we were going to do, essentially. Then I remember after recording it, I'm like, all right. Send me your audio and I'll link them up and we'll get this going. And you did. And I remember sitting down the next morning going, the fuck do I do now? I had no idea what to
do. How does this work?
I was Googling my ass off for the first day trying to figure it out.
I wish I could Google my gut off. So this is, I'll take credit for part of that. And I pat myself on the back often for this. I just remember, first of all, I knew how great of an artist you were just from
the naked ladies. I can see the leap from yes. Well, he can draw naked ladies. Maybe he can do a show.
He could draw a naked lady good enough to get me off. I bet he could do a show. No, so I knew that part. And then I remembered when you got a computer and you were using, I think, Microsoft Paint or whatever the thing that comes with the computer is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you probably got your hands on a copy of Illustrator or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, the shit you were doing once you figured out how to use those things.
I obsess over that stuff.
And I thought, so you're not a computer guy. Like, no. You're not an IT guy. You're not a programmer. You're not a computer geek. However, I remember thinking, if he can figure that shit out and do the incredible things that you've done with those things, I knew about Audacity because I had done some stuff with it before. Right. Because I'd tried a podcast with another guy, but it didn't go anywhere. And I had done some training videos for work, mm-hmm. and Audacity was one of the things I used and whatever. So I had seen Audacity and I'd seen what it can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, if I put Audacity in his hands and if we record some things, I think magic will happen.
Yeah.
And I was still in that mode of the first who, then what. I was like, I don't even have to tell him what to do with it. All I have to do is tell him how to get it and provide the raw materials. And he'll turn the crank, and out the other end will come magical goodness.
Well, that it took about 12 cranks before it because... I am not a computer guy. But I obsess over shit. It's like when I'd gotten Photoshop, I told myself when I get Photoshop, I will not stop until I figure out what I need to do. And for a couple of months, I mean, they were like leaps and bounds in what I was learning how to do because I was obsessing over it. And Audacity is essentially the audio Photoshop because the stuff you can do on it. And, mm-hmm. you know, now the show pretty much makes itself. I just listen to it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
Write that down.
Well, I recorded it, so I don't have to.
Oh, that's true. It's on Audacity now.
That's right.
The beauty of it is how it's evolved over time.
Yeah. Well, I think we've talked about Done Beats Perfect and stuff like that. And I think for what we do about the best job we can, and it shows.
Yeah, I think so. I think that you can have, well, remember the period of time? I don't know. It was probably in the middle of season one, maybe toward the beginning of season two, where I was going through iteration after iteration of, I bought a new patch board, and I bought a new microphone. It's got to sound better.
Uh-huh.
And what the thing that I'm speaking into right now is the Amazon.com headset that we bought. We bought two of them 2 years ago.
Yep.
This may change at some point in the next 5-10 years, but right now, what matters is the words coming out.
That's right.
Of your mouth.
That's right.
As I take them out of your mouth with my mouth.
Like I like to do.
as I like to do. The point being, if you can understand what they're saying, here's the conclusion I've come to with audio quality is...
Mm-hmm.
I need to be able to understand what they're saying.
Yes.
And if I can understand what they're saying, then it's about what are they saying.
Right.
Until the sound effects and the music. And then I want those to be good.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And admittedly, I got a little carried away with some of the sound effects for a while there. and I've kind of scaled them back a little bit, but I think that's just the way that the direction the show took.
The podcasts I've been listening to lately, my introduction to podcasting was the Adam Carolla show, which in the beginning that apparently the audio wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it because it sounded fine to me, but now I go back and I listen to him compared to what he's doing now. Now it sounds exactly like a radio show.
Yeah.
Back in the day when he first started them in about 2007, there are a number of podcasts out there now. Freakonomics is one of them. Mm-hmm. The Adam Carolla Show is another one. There's a couple others that sound high-end quality, like a radio show, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Majority, however, of the ones I've been listening to still sound like people are doing it with the equipment available to people like us.
That's exactly that's exactly what they are.
And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I don't know how long ago this was. This is, the last several episodes have turned into the shit Steve thought of long before it became a thing.
It's a theme.
I remember thinking, I don't know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, who knows?
You thought of everything 15 years ago. That's like a prevailing number for you.
I know. Who the hell was I 15 years ago?
You were a genius.
Something happened to me in the last 15 years. It's, I don't know.
Steve, they're called kids.
I remember thinking, and this is before the World Wide Web became a huge deal. I remember thinking, what if people who are unable to write well, they don't know anything about poetry, they don't know anything about prose, they can't type, they can barely write. What is going on in their head that would be beautiful, that would be a life-changing story? And how do we get that out of their head? What if we could get it out of their head on a paper or onto a keyboard? I remember thinking that, and I thought, well, I have no idea. You would have to teach them how to write, I guess, or something. And now, with podcasting and the internet and artificial intelligence and brainwave reading and all that stuff, that shit is becoming a reality. And who knows the things that people are going to come up with.
Not me.
That was totally out of context.
That's our show.
Nothing you're about to hear is in context. Sitting right over there is Paul Schultz. Sitting right over there is a fish. Welcome to the Non Sequitur Radio Show. My name is Leonardo da Vinci. Sitting right over there is a refrigerator. All right, this might be a good time to take a deep breath.
Collect our thoughts.
You know, it's time to bring back something we used to do in the early days.
What's that?
Irresponsible interpretation of headlines.
never did get a theme song.
You used to play that like news thing.
Oh, yeah.
The news, like, dun 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 dun. All the ships at sea.
I can go back to that. I can do that. Okay, so go on into your irresponsible headline interpretation.
Dateline San Francisco. Uber has decided to suspend their testing program for self-driving cars after the state of California revoked their registration for said self-driving cars. Uber has said that the reason they didn't think they needed that registration is that they always have a driver in the self-driving car just in case something goes wrong with the software.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's all the information I have.
Okay.
The thing that immediately comes to mind is, God damn it, state of California.
We want our robot cars.
I know, right? We want our robot cars, and we want them now.
If we can't have flying cars, we want our robot cars. A self-driving car that has somebody in there just in case. Is that kind of like the person that hangs out at the self-checkout aisle in the store?
Yeah.
It's like kind of the same concept.
Right? In case you're trying to buy liquor. It's like... gonna need to see your ID. It's also like when you take driver's ed, you're in this weird special car where the teacher is sitting in the passenger seat, but he has a brake pedal on his side, right? And so if shit starts to go awry, then he could hit the brake. So that's the first thing I thought of, is suddenly my driver's ed teacher, who was also, by the way, the PE teacher, a football coach, and taught world history.
Oh, yours didn't teach health?
And health. He basically taught all the classes that the school administration decided didn't really matter. They're like, these are the checkbox classes. Just check the box that you took them.
That's why he didn't teach art, see, or music, because they matter.
Right. Art matters. There's so many funny things we could say about that. My first thought is it's not actually self-driving if there's a dude sitting there. I'm thinking,
right,
what if you're the dude sitting there? What are you doing?
He's doing all those things that you're not supposed to do while driving. You know, he's on his phone. He's drinking.
I was thinking about that with self-driving cars. Are we going to change the laws? Because, you know, we got these you can't text and drive. You can't drink and drive. You can't fucking drive. All these things. Are we going to change those laws that say unless you're in a self-driving car? The other thought is probably self-driving cars, self-driving Uber, those kind of things, they're not going to be the first incarnation of this.
Yeah.
The first incarnation is going to be self-driving semi-trucks, cargo delivery kind of stuff. Because as our listeners probably know by now, nothing happens in this country unless there's a profit aspect involved. Here's how I know that electric vehicles, natural gas vehicles, French fry grease vehicles, none of that is more economical than good old-fashioned diesel, because the semi-trucks that are on the road now are still burning diesel.
Mm-hmm.
If you could save money or save energy or save anything, if they could shave off a half of a percent of cost, they would.
Yeah.
Well, the number one cost of transporting goods from point A to point B in a semi-truck is not fuel. It's the I have to be careful here because my good friend Leslie is a truck driver. So I'm not talking about you, Leslie. I'm talking about those other guys. The number one cost is the smelly fat dude sitting behind the wheel saying breaker, breaker on the CB.
We got us a convoy.
That is their number one cost.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as self-driving can happen, they're going to make it happen.
Yep.
And the PR, of course, is going to say it's safer, fewer accidents, fewer smelly fat dudes at the truck stops, blah, 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 right? Oh, and by the way, they don't need to stop because we have, you know, big-ass fuel, a tank of fuel.
Even where the smelly truck driver sat will be a tank of fuel.
Yes.
I don't know, a self... driving semi-truck has 1970s disaster movie plot written all over it.
Carol Joe is back. Jerry waited 2 long years. Now it's time to make a life for themselves. He's an honest trucker who won't make deals.
I mean, I don't haul that stuff, I don't drive, huh?
That's right. Just keep your mouth shut and do as you're told.
But it gets tougher for both of them.
I'm pregnant, Carol Joe. and I've been thinking I wish I weren't.
They force him to fight back, their way.
My name's Carol Jo Hummer. I come to get work.
And next time you just might not be so lucky.
Get it!
But he won't quit.
Get up!
No matter what.
You're about to walk off a cliff, boy.
He's only gonna get you dead, man.
They got the muscle. They own the law.
You're under arrest for the murder of Dwayne Haller.
They terrify his wife.
Take the deal and let's get the hell away from here.
He's a working man who's had enough.
Deputy Dog, you know who this is. You call him and tell him I'm coming here.
Ride with Carol Jo on a trip you'll never forget.
Welcome back to the Don't Panic radio show, episode 49 of season 2.
Or as we like to call it,
100. The next headline that I'd like to bring up is, apparently, in Russia, there's been a an epidemic of bath lotion poisoning. And Vladimir Putin has ordered a crackdown on bath lotions as the death toll rises.
There's a Yakov Smirnoff joke in there somewhere.
How does bath lotion kill you? I don't understand how you can die from bath lotion. What is bath lotion? When I'm in the bath, I'm trying to wash lotion off, not put it on. I don't know what that...
Are they using it wrong?
Maybe they're drinking it.
Well, if that's the case, they deserve to die. Who the hell drinks soap?
Yeah, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
It was soap poisoning.
Bath. Well, remember the bath salts thing where we all figured mm-hmm. the zombie apocalypse had started?
Mm-hmm.
People are eating or smoking or snorting bath salts, and they started eating people.
20-year-old white girls everywhere are running around eating people.
Who better to handle this crisis than Vlad himself? Next thing you know, Trump's going to be on it. We have to do something about this bath lotion problem. The Muslim in chief, the criminal who is in the White House currently, has done nothing to address this bath lotion problem. When I'm president, I'll build a wall around all bath lotion factories, and we will not allow any foreign bath lotion into the country unless it's from Russia.
Until we can figure out what's going on.
But Daddy... Ivanka, this is Ivanka now. I don't know what she sounds like. But Daddy, I don't think I can get by without some bath lotion. I need some bath lotion for my sexy legs. You do have some sexy legs, Ivanka. I just want to say, if you weren't my daughter, I'd want to lick your legs. I'd want to lick the inside of your thigh if you weren't my daughter. Well, I do want to, even though you are my daughter, but I'm not going to do it. Thanks, Daddy, because that would be weird. And my husband would not like that.
Just talking about it isn't weird enough.
She is pretty hot, though. Another headline. A gentleman by the name of Adam Saleh. Saleh. S-A-L-E-H. However you pronounce that.
I was so hoping you were going to go here.
Oh. He is now a YouTube star. After he was arrested, or not arrested, but kicked off of a flight because he was speaking Arabic to his mother
mm-hmm.
on the phone. And somebody complained,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, I speak Jive. And he was kicked off the plane. Now he's a YouTube bazillionaire, which makes me wonder, why can't I speak Arabic?
I don't think that's why you can't speak Arabic. He was, because this just happened today.
All right.
He's actually has been a YouTube star for a while.
Oh.
He does, what do you call it, like race-baited practical jokes to get a rise out of people. This is what he does.
Oh, is he that guy that would go into the hood and pull up gangbanger's pants and get his ass kicked?
No, this guy, he'll like... One of the videos of him had him and a buddy, the same guy, I guess, that was on the plane with him. They would go, they'd find like a white cop, and they'd argue with each other in front of the cop, and the cop would just stand there. And then they'd run around and change into like, one of them would put on like a robe, and they'd argue, and the cop would come up and, what's going on? Why are you talking like that? And chase them away. And they'd catch it all on video.
Oh.
Yeah, this is what that guy does. I just saw this morning and looked into it. Like, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, nope, I don't believe anything anymore. Anything. I don't believe anything. So I looked into it, and yeah, that's what he does.
So he was sort of trying to get kicked off the plane.
Yep. So he could get hits on his YouTube channel, and yep, that's what he does.
Hey, it worked.
So that's just what we got to do.
Yeah, why don't we do something like that? Jesus. Problem is, we're old white dudes. What can old white dudes do?
Yeah, where can we go and talk like old white dudes and get like and become like viral videos
without getting our asses kicked? Not getting my ass kicked is one of the criteria. I'm really firm on this. Not getting my ass kicked is important to me. So I don't want to do a like Bruce Willis in Die Hard, whichever Die Hard that was. The one that Sam Jackson was in.
Yeah.
You remember the one I'm talking about? That was Die Hard, right?
Yes, I know which one you're talking about.
Or was that Lethal Weapon?
Yeah, that was like Die Hard 7. It was Die Hard 7, I think.
Oh. Where he went into the hood wearing the mm-hmm. sandwich board with the N-word on it, naked. I don't want to have to do that.
I'm right there with you. I got kids. I don't want to get beat up, you know. So somebody's got to help them with their homework.
Now, if I could get beat up once and be a millionaire, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But it has to be guaranteed money.
We would get beat up, like, in the head, and we'd be, like, mentally challenged for the rest of our life. We wouldn't even know we had money.
I'm already starting to lose it. At work, I'm having this happen. Mm. Like, somebody will tell me something. Mm-hmm. An hour later, I will have forgotten it.
I'm telling you, man.
It's starting to get a little bit embarrassing. And I look at it and I go, how much longer? The only thing I have to sell as a businessman is my brain. And I'm starting to lose the capacity for remembering shit. So how much longer can I make money off of that? So I got to figure something out real quick where I can make a shitload of money really fast so I can have a nice big bank account, big fat wad of money laid aside for my family so that we don't have to go to the poorhouse when I totally lose my shit. So if I have to get my ass kicked once, maybe twice, avoid the head, please. But, you know, you might knock some sense into me. Remember when that was a thing? People used to be able to knock sense into each other.
My dad tried that numerous times, and it never took. Maybe you should just try some ginkgo biloba.
I could try ginkgo biloba, or which is ginkgo biloba, strong, powerful woman of color.
That's right. We went to school with her.
Yeah, we did. She's a powerful, strong woman of color. Probably somebody's mama.
She didn't write Precious, did she?
She did. How did you know that? She wrote Precious based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
So she wrote the book based on the movie based on the book.
Right. Yes, she did. Ginkgo biloba. That's right. I'm Ginkgo biloba. You call me Mrs. Biloba. All right, Mrs. Biloba. So your maiden name isn't Biloba? What's your maiden name?
No shit.
All right.
I think we're creeping into moral abomination territory.
I don't know if it's moral abomination or fucking racist. We would need MP mint peppermint mocha to tell us that. Anyway, what I was trying to say is I either need Ms. Ginkgo biloba to step in, or I need some way. I already forgot. See? It keeps happening.
Maybe if I was a cross-dressing, like, stripper, I'd name myself Ginkgo biloba. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Ginkgo biloba.
She's my cherry pie. She got no teeth and she's 4 feet high. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on stage three, straight out of the Congo, it's Ginkgo biloba. Where was I going before you brought up Ginkgo biloba? I don't know where I was going with that.
There's the irony for you.
Yes. If strawberries were irony, I mean, if irony were strawberries, we'd all be drinking smoothies right now.
Grandfather's here.
Sit. He'll pinch my cheek. I hate that.
Maybe he won't.
Hey, how's this thing? Huh? I brought you a special present.
What is it?
It was the book my father used to read to me when I was sick, and I used to read it to your father. And today, I'm going to read it to you.
It was a time when life didn't seem so complicated.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
What?
What?
I'm killing myself once we reach the honeymoon suite.
Wouldn't that be nice, hmm?
A courtly age. Of gentle conversation.
I will always come for you.
But how can you be sure?
This is true love.
Oh, no. Is this a kissing book?
No. Actually, there was a lot of treachery. Peril. And revenge.
Prepare to die.
Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line!
There were affairs of state.
But I've got my country's 500th anniversary to plan, my wedding to arrange, my wife to murder, and Gilda to frame for it. I'm swamped.
And affairs of the heart.
My Wesley will always come for me.
Your Wesley is dead.
I've seen worse.
Bye bye, boy!
Have fun storming the castle!
It's more than turning.
What's the difference? We've got him.
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye bye!
It's a story of love, a tale of adventure. It's as real as the feelings you feel.
You're kissing again.
Someday you may not mind so much.
The Princess Bride. Not just your basic, average, everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill, ho-hum fairy tale.
Some dude in Berlin, Germany, drove a semi-truck into a crowd of people.
If it was an Uber self-driving truck?
I think it was.
With umlauts over the U?
Uber.
Uber.
How would that work? Because Uber is, I mean, the word Uber.
I know.
Is a prefix, right?
This is where we disappear in a cloud of logic.
All right. Well, I think that's about the best we're going to do. And we don't have a joke for this week, but this has been season 2, episode 49, the last of the season 2 episodes, and the last of the named episodes. From now on, it'll be episode 101, 102, 103, you know, kind of like that. Mm-hmm. We'd like to thank all of you for, I don't know. I was going to say, all right. I'm gonna pierce your fourth wall right now. I was about to thank everyone for supporting us and keeping us going for 2 years, but I gotta say, and I think this might lose me a few fans. Our listeners haven't kept me going. What's kept me going is talking to you every week. Because our listeners will not, no matter how much we beg, will not interact with us. There are exceptions. And I'd like to recognize those exceptions. For example, Superfan James, one of our biggest fans, who went back and listened to all of the episodes from the ugly beginning up till now and has been on the show several times. Thank you, Superfan.
He went from being fan to participant.
And we have some great things in store for you in the hundreds as we enter our second century. For example, and Superfan James, sorry if we haven't mentioned this to you yet, but one of our plans was to have you on a regular basis to do a gaming segment.
Yeah.
On like as a regular segment.
I've been in extensive conversations with him about that.
Okay, so we can't say much more about that because negotiations are underway,
right?
And we wouldn't want to jeopardize the negotiations by revealing too much.
Right.
So that's one thing that's coming up. Uncle Carl has been on the show. We'd love to have him on the show again. I think he probably knows what Skype is. I think he was involved in inventing Skype.
Yeah, he wanted to name it Carl. They went with Skype.
Yeah. Guy, Carl. I'll Carl you later. It's like, wait a minute. I don't know if I want to be Carled. D.
D and Mrs. D.
D and Mrs. D have both been on the show. love both of you and would like to have you on again sometime soon. Mm-hmm. Oh, my lovely, lovely bride, Constance, has been on the show more than once. And she's a regular listener. She keeps up. She is caught up.
Finally.
She listens to every show. And there's nothing weirder than like mid-morning walking into my own bathroom, hearing my own voice. And I realize she's listening to me on her iPad or whatever. I'm like, oh, it must be one of our shows. Like I, and then sometimes I'll walk into my bedroom and I'll hear your voice.
You get all like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
What's going to be that kind of party?
So thank you, Constance, for being on. My lovely children, Elizabeth and Simone, have been on. Any of you weirdos who think you're going to stalk my daughters, I have a very particular set of skills. I will find you and I will kill you.
But don't hit him in the head.
Yeah, don't hit me in the head. That's my moneymaker. Don't hit me in the moneymaker.
That's right.
And Arlo, who used to have jokes for us.
Yeah, she tries, but.
Not anymore.
Yeah, she's kind of gotten sidelined with a few of her own projects, so.
Come on, Arlo.
I even tried to bribe her with money to get her to actually tell the jokes, and she still I would do it for money. I would pay myself to tell the joke.
There's not much I wouldn't do for money.
This is true.
There are some things I would pay money to for the opportunity.
That's right. This is also true.
All right. Who else have we had on?
Michael.
Oh, my God. We got to do that some more.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have the international participation.
Yes.
Michael Hill.
That's right.
From Sweden. We've had a couple people who we're not going to mention. There's one that we're not going to mention because we recorded the show and then thought better of it. So we never aired that episode.
Yeah, that... Yeah, that was fate. That was
that was fate. That was the rabbit boiling episode. Andy Martello, who we'll probably have on again soon on our other podcast, the Rough Draft podcast.
Nice probably little segue there.
Oh my God!
Hmm.
One of our biggest supporters listens to every episode and was the inspiration actually to get us to finally do this and is responsible for many of our listeners. MP Peppermint Mocha.
That's right.
He's been on the show as well. And he's and I think to get him to be on the show again, all we have to do is ask. That's the kind of guy he is.
I thought we had to say something horrible to get him on the show to reprimand us, but if we just gotta ask, then let's do that.
Well, I think he's pretty liberal, and I think we're kind of racist for his sensibilities, even though we're compassionate racists.
That's right.
So I think if we've forgotten anybody, please get angry with us and start a Twitter storm or a Facebook storm.
There's Officer Nick.
Oh, my God. He has been huge. We've had him on the show a couple of mm-hmm. times. Mm-hmm. He helped us with our Halloween show,
mm-hmm.
et cetera.
Oh, what? Oh. What's her name?
Nah.
Oh,
Melissa.
Yeah, Melissa.
Lady of the Night.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate her being on the show as well. Scott Tolan has not been on the show. I'm not even sure he's on the Do It Indie Radio Hour show.
I think he occasionally, shows up.
All of our friends at Comedy Sports.
Right.
Oh, that reminds me. I was thinking about it's one of those. So somebody posted on Facebook the other day that they said, I'm going to be totally honest, and I know this is unpopular, but I felt like the Princess Bride movie was just kind of meh. And I said, look, I don't block people as a rule. I've only ever blocked one person. It was for a very specific reason.
Very specific, but I said,
you might be the exception to my own rule. You can't not like Princess Bride and still be my circle of life.
There's two kinds of people in this world. People who like Princess Bride and people I ain't got time for.
So we got into this whole, I think she was just trying to get attention. Mm. And knowing this person, that's kind of her, the way she lives her life. Mm. Which I totally don't understand. Somebody just trying to be center of attention.
That's right. 100 episodes later.
Well, if we forgot anybody, it's your own fault for not being more involved.
Right.
So it raised for me this thought, which was, well, so what I did is I did this thing where, okay, you have revealed you don't like Princess Bride. It's very courageous of you. I'm just going to lay it out there. I don't like Rush. it's like, I know people like me are supposed to like Rush, but I don't. Just going to lay that out there. Right. And I thought, well, there you go. It is a weird thing when people you respect admit that they don't like something they're supposed to like.
Right, right. Right?
It made me think of MP Peppermint Mocha not liking improv. and for a while, it threw me for a loop because I was like, how can somebody I respect, somebody who writes super well and who is super funny, like one of the funniest motherfuckers around,
yeah,
how can he not like improv? And I had a revelation today as I was thinking about that. I thought, and it was all spurred by this friend of mine not liking Princess Bride. I thought, maybe what he doesn't like is horrible improv. So, for example, a lot of movies that we see these days have a lot of improv in them.
Yeah.
A lot of comedies have improv in them. We just don't know it because the director just let them go, right? Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, these are the major league players. These are the pro sports players of improv. So you wouldn't want to go, as a sports analogy, you wouldn't go spend your money to go into a ballpark to watch Little League unless one of your relatives was there.
Right.
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 Because you're like, baseball's great. Watching professionals play baseball is awesome, but I'm not going to go watch Little League. And my thought was, it's not that improv is bad. It's just that there's a lot of amateurs out there pretending to be professionals who really suck at it, because improv can be a beautiful thing when it works and when really people are really good at it are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my thought. And with that, you have any final thoughts?
Hey, how you doing?
For all the people we just mentioned, and for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Benson. Do It Indie Radio Hour is next. Whatever you do, don't click. And do not forget that nothing you just heard was true.
Stratus. Oh, bullshit.